Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. Subject line, tall daters. Rick, I think that's a typo. The show is Tail Daters. Probably not a typo so much as it is like a Timo. MTV's ploy to combine Mystery Science Theater 3000 with blind dates. It follows two people who agree to a blind date, while two selected friends of each are put in an RV to watch the date on monitors.
I've seen it. It's good.
While they bitch and complain about how lame the two are who are on the date. Anyway. P.S. I'm out of the PDX, but still listening with unabashed loyalty while up here in the B.C. That's Nick, regularly from the mighty metropolis of Clatskanie. Something. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, Jim Roop from CNN Radio talk about the Golden Globes. Later on, Kristen from Accounting with the top five musical acts of all time. Also, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think, which can I just tell you the email I got about this yesterday was just staggering.
Are those all of them?
Well, it's a huge, no, it's not all
wow.
of them, because all of them I couldn't even print out. I had this monstrous stack of email about that yesterday. So, anyway, talk more about the Joe Millionaire recap last night. The Joe Millionaire Encore presentation was last night. We'll talk about that later on.
I ended up missing that.
What? Where were you?
I was dealing with a car accident, thanks.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot about that. You got a VCR. You got to get a TiVo, man.
I've got to get a TiVo.
What's your excuse?
I couldn't get a TiVo where I was before.
What do you mean? Of course you could.
I couldn't. They told me that it was not compatible with the old cable system that was out of Battleground.
Nah, that's a bunch of crap. TiVo's compatible with everything. TiVo even works if you have, like, the rabbit ears and four channels.
All right, well, now that I'm in Portland and, you know, everything's good to go, so I'm planning on getting one here shortly.
Got to get a TiVo. Let me tell you
TiVo
about TiVo.
Works only if you have rabbit ears. If you do have rabbit ears.
No, TiVo works with everything. Seriously. TiVo will work with anything on Earth. They have thought of everything. It is the most consumer-friendly product ever created. I mean,
you know what else is like absolutely consumer friendly and works with everybody on Earth? Michael Hacker Photography.
So he does. Hold
yes.
on.
Yes, he does.
Hold on.
Coincidentally, Michael Hacker Photography is bringing you this hour of the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, I got the hint. I think I've cracked your code.
Well, you know, it's tricky.
Let's see. This hour is brought to you by Michael Hacker Photography, professional full-service photography specializing in weddings. Give Michael Hacker Photography a call at 503-816-4944. 503-816-4944. That's what you got to do. All right. Oh, but so anyway, if you've got a TiVo, though, let me just give a little bit of info to my TiVo peeps who are out there. So later on this month, there's going to be a massive TiVo software upgrade happening. They're going to beam it right into your box. We're going to get the TiVo 4.0, which will feature, among other things, the ability to move TV programming from one TiVo to another in your house. If you have more than one TiVo, you'll be able to interconnect them. And later on this month, for a one-time fee that will, like, upgrade your software, you'll be able to program your TiVo from any computer in the world. Be able to log on and program your TiVo from a remote location. It's the greatest thing. TiVo just continues to roll on as the single greatest consumer product that has ever been released to the public. It's good stuff. All right, Jim Roop from CNN Radio in Los Angeles coming up in just a moment. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 106, Tim Riley with news brought to you by the Portland Winterhawks. Tonight is Mascot Night with your Winterhawks. It doesn't really tell us exactly what that means. As they battle Seattle, how could that be? At 7 o'clock at the Rose Garden, presented by the Portland Tribune, portions of ticket sales benefit Portland High School spring sports. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster for tonight's big game, Mascot Night.
Mascot Night being what?
We don't know.
It Matt Peterson.
It's actually a convention of furries and plushies.
It's just a cloth-humping convention.
Well, be good to those mascots and don't kick them where you shouldn't. That's all I have to say about that. Anyway, top story. The Rose City Classic Dog Show is now underway. Time to meet the mutts.
Here comes the big dog from Portland. This is the Chihuahua Taco Bell.
Spectator events include dancing with dogs.
This is Sandy
And Sandy is from Saskatoon. This is freestyle. In other words, it's sort of like walking with your dogs, with your Walkman on, and having a good time.
Don't miss it. Bring the whole family the Rose City Dog Classic going on all weekend.
Okay.
Even if it is mascot.
You know what? There's a whole lot of those Mary Kay pink Cadillacs in that parking lot.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Hey, let me ask you this. When you sell for Mary Kay, do you have the option of not taking a gaudy pink Cadillac, which looks like a big almond roca tin? Can you actually get a car that someone wants to drive? Or are you obliged to take the Mary Kay Cadillac?
No, they just have the sticker that they have to put on. I've seen lots of different cars.
No, but you know what I'm talking about. How for the longest time, you would just get the pink Cadillac. That's what you would get from Mary Kay if you sold.
I think that was only certain salespeople. You had to sell so much Mary Kay to earn the pink Cadillac.
But, no one would ever want the pink. Who would ever want a big pink Cadillac that said Mary Kay in the back window? Why don't you?
People that sell lots of Mary Kay would.
It's like having a bunch of bobblehead dolls and a Pabst Blue Ribbon license plate holder.
It's a badge of courage in suburbia.
Yeah, all right. Whatever.
Two German circus trainers have managed to get a donkey, goat, monkey, and a cockatoo to form a pyramid.
This is breaking news.
Yes, it is. The animals can be seen performing the trick at the 27th Monte Carlo International Circus Festival in Monaco.
You know,
the week-long event features more than 100 performers and 130 animals.
You know, they give out these community service awards to radio stations sometimes for acting in the public interest. And KWJ did in the hall wins these all the time, and I'm always wondering why we never win anything.
Never. Not even nominated.
Why we never
mentioned
anything. And I think we found the root of that. I think we've discovered the underlying cause for the lack of journalistic respect that's accrued to KOTK.
A Black Diamond man faces 3 months in the Jusco when he's sentenced February for his part in that baby-selling scheme. 35-year-old Kenneth Slate pled guilty yesterday in Seattle to attempted baby-selling. He helped a woman sell her 4-month-old son to his ex-wife a year and a half ago for $2,000. The mother said the baby was getting on her nerves and she couldn't handle him anymore. The buyer and the mother said they considered a deal for adoption, but why not sell it? So that's what happened.
Okay. Did you see that guy tried to sell his family on eBay last week? It's like $5 million. Guy tried to sell his whole family.
It's a shame.
Seriously, if my dad could have gotten away with that, if we'd had eBay when I was about 10 years old, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in Oklahoma. I'd belong on some Quaker compound somewhere.
Gangsta rapper Fabulous has been arrested for the second time in 2 days. This time, it's because police in New York say they found guns in his car. The driver and another passenger were arrested also. The day before, Fabulous was arrested when police say they caught him driving with a suspended license. Whoever he is. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Sunny, and it is. The forecast is right. High temperatures, mid-40s to low 50s. Clear tonight, except for some fog. Mostly sunny tomorrow. A few clouds moving in Sunday, but not a bad weekend at all. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
Okay. It's 503-250-TANETTI in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on this hour, Kristen from accounting, with the top five musical acts of all time. Also, Jolie from the front desk. It's time to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. What's up with you, man?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Well, there's just dog shows aplenty up here, apparently, so...
Is that right?
Jesus, man. Have you ever been...
You know, that family that man was trying to sell his family on eBay is from Southern California.
Yeah, go figure there. So, what with all the gang activity, what, they're trying to raise money to get out of there. So, have they ever made you cover a dog show?
No.
See, that's getting... It's not going to be long, though. It seems like... Seems like the way you get treated around there, it's just a matter of time. We're just counting down until you have to go to Schnauzer Fest 2003 or something. They're already making you go to the Golden Globes this Sunday, and no one cares about that. How much worse could it possibly get?
Well, it's a big party.
Yeah, all right. The Golden Globes, I mean, they always say that this is what, the 60th annual? 60th annual Golden Globes?
60, yeah.
Yeah, but I never even heard about it until, I don't think any of us ever heard of the Golden Globes until 7 or 8 years ago.
Really?
Siri, I can't ever remember hearing about the Golden Globes.
3 years ago for me.
Until, like, 90. When you just got the memo, you are to go cover this.
Covering what?
Yeah. So, it just kind of came out of nowhere. It's one of those things. It's like when you see those T-shirts that say Bob's Surf Shop, in business since 1952. It's like I was never even aware of it. So, anyway, so you have to go cover that this weekend. And this is the big, indicative thing for the Oscars.
They say so. If you think about it, 95% of the time, the movie that's won Favorite Dramatic Film at the Golden Globes has won the Oscar.
Right.
And about 98% of the right. actresses have done the same thing. So it could be an indicator because these are really the only two. It's really the only movie show before the Oscars that means anything. The Directors Guild means something. The Broadcast Awards mean something. But this is really the big one. And the only one really that TV and this is kind of a cross between the Emmys and the Oscars. It's when TV and the movies get together in a big party.
And there's going to be a bunch of... is this all going to be like Chicago and The Hours, though? Isn't that pretty much going to be it?
Can't I just assume that Chicago has 8 nominations. The Hours has, what, 7? The Hours has 7. Adaptation, the Nicolas Cage comedy has 6.
All movies.
West Wing has 5.
All movies that no one has actually seen.
I've not seen them, no.
Well, no one's seen these movies. No one's seen any.
I don't watch the West Wing either.
What?
I haven't seen it.
What is your problem? What do you mean you don't watch the West
Wing? I got stuff going on, man. I don't get to watch television that much.
You got stuff going on? Are you drinking? What do you have going on that could be more important than the West Wing?
You know, I have a life.
West Wing is one of the... What are you saying, that I don't?
No, I'm just saying I have other things I do, all.
Well, I don't have a life, but still, I'm
just
saying.
Well, you have TiVo. You can tape it. I don't have TiVo.
You got to get a TiVo, man.
I don't have to get a TiVo.
You do. You're the entertainment reporter for the West Coast for CNN. How are you going to report on entertainment?
I'm a general assignment correspondent, man. I just happen to have to cover entertainment.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Robert Blake. He's going...
He's going ape, man.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it could be possible for you to express any more contempt for the actual field that you are ostensibly covering for CNN? Do you think you could...
Don't get me wrong. I like it.
Any less interested in the actual stories that they pay you to cover?
I'm just saying. I'm a very biased. I'm a non-biased correspondent.
All right. Is that code for completely and utterly disinterested and...
I just do what they pay me to do.
Disconnected, man. from everything at large. So Robert Blake has gone insane, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's just rambling on. I mean, in that deposition tape, it's just funny to hear. He sounds like Beretta, too, man. If the old cowboy can't make the ride, I mean, he's just talking all that Beretta stuff. It's pretty sad.
So who is the cowboy and what's the ride?
Well, he's saying to his attorney that in 15 years, when he goes and he talks to Rosie, his daughter, he's going to say, "Yeah, gee, I'm sorry that your father couldn't last through the trial before he died in prison or in jail, but I did the best that I could do." So he's the cowboy, and the ride is riding out this jail thing until he gets acquitted in the trial.
Okay. All right. Well, he has been... How long has he been in jail now?
7 months since April.
And so when is this... Is there any signal this is going to happen anytime soon?
No.
It's just going to grind on ever so slowly.
It really is. And he's getting worse looking, and he's getting weirder as it goes on. Now, for a while, he had a steady stream of celebrities visiting him. Now he has a priest every Sunday come by for a half hour.
Maybe Rosie Greer can come visit him or something.
That's right.
It seems to work out. It's just, he's dropped a bunch of weight, too.
Yeah, he's looking pretty frail in there. I don't think he's doing very well.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. Now, we were saying earlier, I just want to put him and James Traficant in one cell. Wire it for sound and just beam that directly to Rupert Murdoch. Put that on. You're talking like a 50 show.
You know what? That would be a great TV show.
Seriously.
Reality prison.
Well, they're already doing that surreal life where they've got like Emmanuel Lewis and Mr. T and some guy from Motley Crue all living in a house together.
Yeah.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I know the show.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Corey Feldman's involved.
Corey Feldman. This is... I got a friend of mine. This is a funny story because Jerry from Survivor is on there, too. And I got this friend of mine who's all bent out of shape that Jerry from Survivor gets to be on the show. And this is actually the phrase she used to me. She said, "I'm really annoyed that they let Jerry from Survivor on there. It's not like she's Emmanuel Lewis or something." She doesn't radiate the million candle watt power, you know, star halo that Emmanuel Lewis puts out. What the hell is that about? It's not like she Screech or something. Well, anyway. All right. Well, in any
beautiful
event,
stuff, man.
In any event. So we'll talk to you on Monday and find out what... Oh, is 8 Mile nominated for anything?
No.
What the hell is that about? What kind of a world is that where 8 Mile doesn't get nominated?
It's not nominated, man.
Oh, two things. Two questions. I want to... First of all, 8 Mile...
I don't think it's eligible yet.
What came out... Isn't this for 2002?
Yeah.
Well, it came out in December, didn't it? Yeah, because I saw it before Christmas.
I don't know.
Well, all right. In any event, so 8 Mile and then also Bowling for Columbine.
That's not nominated, no.
How can... Okay, if Bowling for Columbine... I get to... Have you seen Bowling for Columbine?
No, I've not seen it.
you know, could you sink any lower in my estimation today? You've got to go see. I'll send you $8.
I'm sorry, Rick. I feel like I'm disappointing you.
You are. I'll send you a parking voucher. Do whatever it takes, man. I'll send you some.
I feel impotent.
I'll pay for the babysitter. You've got to go see Bowling for Columbine, the new Michael Moore film. I'm telling you this right now. If Bowling for Columbine is not nominated for documentary in the Oscars, I'm gonna push a puppy through a sieve.
But you know what? There is no category for documentaries in the Golden Globes.
We'll see. I'll allow it then. But I'm saying, if it doesn't happen in the Oscars, because everybody accuses the Oscars of being out of touch ever since Hoop Dreams didn't get nominated for documentary, or didn't win for documentary. So Bowling for Columbine doesn't get something in the Oscars, I'm going to be bitter about it to the end of my days.
All right.
So you know, mark my words now, so when I go on a random killing spree, you'll be able to say, well, he always talked about killing some people, but I thought he was just fooling. All right.
It's all that old Columbine thing coming back at him, I guess.
So enjoy your weekend. Try to catch a Joe Millionaire on Monday.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you on Monday after the Golden Globes. Get something off the craft services table for me.
All right, man.
All right, there you go. There's CNN Radio's Jim Roop. I thought it was just award shows he didn't care about, but apparently it's just the entire pantheon of entertainment. It's entertainment as a whole. Give a rat's ass about it. And just a complete and utter apathy in his voice. That's what I like to hear in an entertainment correspondent. What's going on?
I don't know.
All right. We got more on the way. It's Rick Emerson Show. We got Kristen from accounting with her top five musical artists of all time. Joining for the front desk. Later on, more of your phone calls. Like us at 3, followed by the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We will continue. Here's Weezer. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
124, Jim Riley with you, is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Help keep your nest egg from breaking. Call a local State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company agent today for cost and complete details of long-term care insurance. Martin Lawrence plays Earl, a wannabe cop/security guard who's thrown together with a wild redneck named Steve Zahn to bust a smuggling operation in national security. Martin Lawrence said he spent time with cops to prepare for his role.
Not on this one, I didn't, because I was a guy that wanted to be a cop and had to go into the academy, so I really didn't know much about, you know, the technical side of being a cop. So it just played if I didn't work with anybody. If I tended to look like I was doing something right, you know, that's generally something I learned from other films. We would have, you know, the advisor come over and say, you're not supposed to be looking like you're supposed to do this technically right. You know, so put a cool spin on it or something.
Okay, so you didn't spend time with cops. Somebody gave me the wrong information. Tell us about your character, Earl.
He's cocky. He's, you know, very overconfident at times. He challenges the system, you know, when he shouldn't, you know. And these are the things that get him pushed out of academy and difficult to be able to work with, so it seems, you know. And if he's just settled down and come to understand, you know, there's a protocol to, you know, what it is that he wants to do and be, then maybe things will work out.
Like, anyone needs to hear this much from Martin Lawrence
about a
movie.
What was the question?
I have no idea. Get back on the drugs. At least he's, you know, at least when he was high all the time, he spoke quickly and the soundbite was over. Let me ask you this really quick.
Over 30 seconds.
Just quickly, can anyone name a good movie that Martin Lawrence was ever responsible for?
No. Martin Lawrence, You're So Crazy.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's a stand-up comedy thing. That's not a movie. That's
like saying that Eddie Murphy Delirious or Eddie Murphy Raw don't qualify as movies.
It's not the same. They don't really qualify as movies in the traditional sense. They don't. That's, no, those don't count as films. I'm saying an actual movie, a fictitious, a script, a directing. Has anybody, is there ever one good actual movie that Martin Lawrence has been responsible for?
Bad Boys.
Okay. All right. Whatever you say.
I'd ask him another question, but he'd probably sit there and read War and Peace or something. So let's move along here. It's going to be mostly sunny this afternoon. Highs mid-40s to low-50s. Clear tonight, bad sunny tomorrow. Place. Not a bad weekend at all. Cloudy Sunday. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
Yeah.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, what about Big Mama's house? That was a piece. That was just a piece of Truffaut, too, wasn't it? Huh? Huh?
Big Mama's house, good movie. Yeah, that's great.
503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. In just a moment, we'll have the top five musical artists of all time, courtesy of Kristen in accounting. Also, Jolie for the front desk. Later on, we'll talk about Joe Millionaire. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our friend and colleague with a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes. It's Oregonian movie critic Peter Carlin. Where are you at?
He's actually the TV critic.
Did I say Oregonian movie critic?
You really did.
I'm high.
Wow. Maybe you know something I don't.
Yeah. We're having some cutbacks, Peter. You're going to be taking on some additional duties.
Yeah, I better get rid of this, better get out of this TV convention as fast as I can and start watching some movies.
Are you in L.A. right now?
I'm in Hollywood, California.
How long is you've been there like a week. How long do they keep you there?
I'll be here. I'm coming back on Sunday.
Jesus. So you're, is there any worse fate than to be flown there and kept in Hollywood for like 9 days?
Yeah, there are lots of worse fates.
Surrounded by some of the worst people on planet Earth.
Yeah. Well, some of them are nice.
Yeah. All right. So what do they do? Do they just lock you in a room and make you watch a bunch of upcoming shows?
Not really, but they lock you in a room and make you talk to the stars of upcoming shows.
Yeah.
And the executives and the producers who created them and are so very up on it. It's always like everyone always falls in love with the script. That's what you always hear. It's the same lines. It's like, well, I really just fell in love with the script. And when they talk about the development of the show, it's always an organic process.
An organic process, which means that if the focus groups badly or the pilot falls in its face, we will fire everybody except the star and change the setting from a delicatessen to a college in New England.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, also, though, it's a really, you know, it's like it's easy to be really cynical and angry about the whole deal, especially if you just happen to be like that naturally, like I am. But on the other hand, it's like one of the things that I think is most groovy about the TV business is that it is such an industry. I mean, it almost has a very sort of blue-collar type of, you know, factory environment here, which is like, hey, you know, we're here to make a product. You know, we want to, you know, appeal to our customer base. We're just trying, you know, it's like taking fantasies and turning, you know, these sort of shared fantasies that people have in the culture and sort of turning them into, like, you know, process entertainment that people can enjoy again and again and again.
Well, you know, Phil Hendry actually made that observation the other day. He said Hollywood is a factory town. It's just that they happen to churn out movies, not cars.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's our TV shows. You know, TV is even way more industrial than movies in some ways, just because you can do it. You know, you just do it week after week after week after week. You know, it's not like you work on a project for 3 months or 6 months or a year and you know, and it's like a big deal and you move on to the next project. You know, you work, you have like an office, you've got a place, a set that you go back to again and again and again, and you just stay there hopefully for years on end.
Well, you know, it is pretty amazing when you think about the television industry and you think about, I mean, just like here, this is a kind of a different example, but you know, we come here every day, we come out from noon to three, and at noon, you know, we've got to have something. It's like feeding the beast. You know, we've got to have something to do. It is kind of amazing that with the schedule they work under, where every single week, at least during the on-season, Aaron Sorkin's got to churn out a new episode of West Wing. It's got to be written, directed, filmed, acted, processed, produced, edited, everything. It's got to show up on my television every week. And that about 90% of the time, it's good. That is kind of stunning when you think about it.
Yeah, well, hence the drugs.
And free.
But
mushrooms.
That's a cheap shot, by the way. I withdraw that statement.
No, that's the kind of thing we've come to know and love from you.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk briefly about the Jimmy Kimmel Show?
Let's please.
Live with Jimmy Kimmel, or Jimmy Kimmel Live, whatever it's going to be, on ABC.
Let's do that.
High hopes. We have high hopes for this show.
Really?
He has a theater here. Yeah, we went to check it out and talk to him. He's a very sort of cool, down-to-earth guy. He's very funny. They're putting together this theater here, which is actually part of an old Masonic temple right here on Hollywood Boulevard. And it's kind of, you know, I mean, I think he's so much more than what he showed on The Man Show.
Well, he's just aiming low intentionally for sort of a niche demographic there.
But it's a very groovy environment. You come in and the whole lobby of this place is actually a bar. Or two bars, actually. So the idea, they're going to be, you know, serving beer and wine to their guests. You know, they're going to have, like, there's like a stage for the band is actually out in the lobby area where the, you know, the music acts are going to play. And then in the central thing, you know, where they have the stage set where he'll sit and talk to people. And then out back, they're going to have a bigger stage for, like, big acts to come play. It's like in a parking lot out back, and that'll be sort of like a perpetual sort of third stage for them.
When does this hit the air?
I think his first episode's going to be after the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday.
Debuts, like, directly following the Super Bowl.
I'm there. Color, I'm totally there.
But he's going to, so anyway, they're going to do it live. One of the things I never knew about the Man Show, if only because I never paid much attention to it, but which we learned at the thing, when I was talking to his executive producer after the thing, or little display thing that they had, was they have like three little audience signs. You know how they always have applause signs
right.
in TV studios that light up and say applause, applause.
Uh-huh.
There it says, I could never write this in the paper because there's no way around it, but I can hint at it here. Their applause sign says applaud, you bastards. And then there's two signs for silence because, you know, their audiences are frequently drunk, which
Completely.
Is not a surprise since they make them that way.
Right.
And one, and so it says, the first one that lights up says, shut the F up. And then the second one, the more serious one, says, no, seriously, shut the F up.
That's so great. I wish I had one of those in my house or
yeah.
here or anywhere where I have to be around people. I'm just going to carry a portable one of those with me and just point it at people.
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
Well, I know you're going to be back, so you're Sunday. So next, are you going to be in studio next week?
I hope.
You got to be in studio next week so we can talk about Joe Millionaire at length.
Okay. Can I bring like some kind of a top five?
Please do.
Okay.
You got to give it. Bring your top five musical acts. We'll do it.
Okay. Yeah. That would be cool.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your trip in
All
as
right.
much as that's possible. Have a safe flight back. We will talk to you next week.
Yes.
All right. Peter Carlin, who is the TV critic there.
That's
the,
right.
Oregon.
I don't watch the movies.
Why?
I think the movies are corrupt. It's like radio, only not quite as bad.
The kids and the dope. All right. There you go. There's Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, live in Los Angeles there. All right. Thank you, Peter. All right. Without further ado, let's roll it. Here's today's top five.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is fabulous, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Alright, see ya. Break Emerson's Count 5 for Friday. We're joined now by the lovely Kristen from accounting. How are you?
I'm peachy keen, how are you?
Are you truly peachy keen?
Maybe not.
Sure you're not Jim Dandy?
No, I think I'm peachy keen.
Alright. Somebody says, Rick, what about Nothing to Lose, starring Martin Lawrence and Tim Robbins? P.S. also Blue Streak.
Yeah, F you.
It's nothing. That movie with Tim Robbins, didn't you feel like Tim Robbins signed onto that by accident? You ever seen the trailer for Nothing to Lose with Martin Lawrence and Tim Robbins and thinking, like, wondering if they, like, if Tim Robbins signed the wrong contract by mistake? You know, like, where's a passionate film about the insanity of war?
Signed.
Ah, crap! You know, and then he signed up for a Martin Lawrence film instead. All right, so we got your top five, which I had to badger you about for, like, weeks, by the way.
And I have to make an exception to, it's not a list of my top five of all time. It's more like my most influential. Because I think when you say of all time, it's a daunting task.
It was hard to do, but I did it. We all did it. We managed to make it happen.
Every one of the rest of us managed to pull off that daunting task.
You know, Kristen thinks the rules apply to everybody than her.
And I only say that because one of the artists in my list is probably not going to have much of an effect on anyone else except for me.
All right.
So here we go.
Let's roll it. Here's Kristen from accounting with her top five.
And after much badgering and berating, she's finally done it. Kristen from accounting has given us her top five. These are Kristen's top five musical acts of all time. Number five is the Dan Reed Network.
I have no idea who that is.
A blast from the past. And actually, I have to tell you, Bruce was saying a couple weeks ago that none of the people here working had selected artists from their actual generation.
Right.
So that kind of prompted me to put Dan Reed Network on there because they are definitely from my generation.
Wait, is this butt-esque?
It is kind of butt-esque.
Hold on.
And you know, the funny thing is, a friend of mine from college told me to go out and buy their first CD. And he said, you have to listen to them because they're kind of a combination of Van Halen and Prince, is how he put it. Which kind of intrigued me. Well,
That's interesting, at least.
But it's that funky, like, you know, you just want to...
That's like sort of go, now this is like peanut butter and asparagus.
And they're a big Portland band. I mean, like, they're Portland.
Are they from Portland? They
were, you know, the lead singer of the band Reed Network is married to Brenda Braxton, local TV news lady.
No. The keyboard player, Blake, who's a very good friend of mine, is married.
Oh, the keyboard player. Yeah. Okay, I knew one of the guys was.
Dan right. Reed actually owns Ohm.
Okay, well, let me hear a little of this. That's not bad. That's got a hook. Hey, you're doing like a little snake dance. You're doing a little Axl Rose dance over there.
I mean, because it's got that funky, you know, the guitar player and the bass player are black. And they've just got that funk thing going on. It's just really cool.
So they've got a little soul there.
Got the O thing going on there, too.
This is exactly the kind of music I'd picture Kristen listening to.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's like all Vivaldi or something.
And I know all of, like, Sarah's generation listeners are just going to be like, what the hell is this?
No, I can get with this. Is this representative of their opera?
This is one of my favorite tunes.
I can get with this.
It's pretty representative of it.
I say now, officially, I can get with this. I'm going to go listen to more Dan Reed Network later.
But please don't dance.
Okay, number four is Marvin Gaye.
All right, two for two so far.
Yeah, you know Marvin Gaye? I mean, what can you say about Marvin Gaye? This was just an incredible album, the whole
album. Shouldn't have picked fights with his dad so often.
A little too soon for him to depart this world, I think.
Damn, dude, I can't believe you went there.
God.
Tell me it's not true. Dad, I've had enough of your crap and I'm going to F you up. Yeah, that was a mistake. I'm just saying.
And, you know, kind of apropos for what's going on today.
What are you giving me the hairy eyeball for? I love Marvin Gaye. I'm just saying. It's sad.
I'm trying to get you out of the deep doo-doo.
It's true. I'm just saying, here's the problem with Marvin Gaye. Never let anybody in your family manage your career. It always asks Billy
Beyonce.
Joel. Yeah, ask Billy Joel. It always ends badly. I'm going to put my brother-in-law in charge of my finances.
Because Beyonce is going to kill her father.
Well, that's
he might snap on her. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. That's going to be a tell-all book someday about, you know. And then my dad filled me full of horse steroids. Man, what a great voice, though.
Isn't it incredible?
Not a voice like Silk, but it was this voice kind of like shag velour.
Well, see, that's the thing. He wasn't perfect, but he just had that.
He had soul. He's Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you had soul, Rick?
Dude. Marvin Gaye has more soul in his fingernail clippings than I have in my entire body.
Even now.
Even now. They're longer now, so there's more. Oh, come on. That was funny.
Number three, or The Who?
I know, Rick, you're not crazy about The Who, but just listen to this.
You can't take anything away from The Who. They're The Who.
It's true. And they were actually like the first rock band I heard. Because I used to go and listen to my brother's album, so I was really influenced by what he had.
I'm not really a Who fan, but I am a huge Pete Townsend fan. That's the thing. I love Pete Townsend's songs. I just don't like the way The Who did them.
Yeah, and you know, the thing was, I have a really quick story about this. My brother, who is a drummer, used to be in several rock bands back in the day, and he had these Altec Voice of the Theater speakers that he bought for the band. He built cabinets for them that were like 4 feet tall, these huge cabinets. And at one point between bands, he had them hooked up to his turntable. And I used to come home from school and like put this tune on and just sit on the floor, and the bass was cranked up all the way. Just like your whole butt was shaking. It was just the coolest sound.
Did you ever hear the Scoop Records, which are Pete Townsend's home demos of a bunch of Who songs?
No.
There's two albums called Scoop and Scoop 2, I think, or More Scoop or something. Anyway, it's Pete Townsend's four-track demos of a bunch of Who songs, like Behind Blue Eyes, Love Rain or Me. And it's great, and it's great to hear Townsend doing the songs, because I think he's a better singer in his way than Daltrey.
Yeah.
And Townsend is so brilliant that it's amazing to hear him do the songs himself. Yeah, I mean, I don't like The Who to listen to them, but I can't take anything away from them because they're The Who. What are you going to do? They're great.
Number two are Van Halen.
My boy.
This redeems everything that you might have done before.
God, there's just nothing I can say about these guys.
She can kill it for you, though. Kristen, are you a fan of Van Halen or Van Hagar?
If you had to pick Roth or Hagar.
I can't. Well,
if
okay,
you had
if
to
had
pick
to,
Roth
I,
or Hagar.
I'd have to pick Roth.
Okay.
That's not the way it came out earlier. Earlier, but, it sounded like a Hagar.
Well, no, I'd rather have a beer with Sammy, but I'd rather hear Van Halen with,
what?
With Dave. Well, because let's put it this way. Dave's just, can I say, he's a prick. I mean.
Well, yeah, but that's why we like him.
Just, I know, but, and he's like the entertainer of all time.
Oh, David Lee Roth. We did top five frontmen of all time, and he was up there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They recorded this whole album, their whole first album, seriously, in like
a week.
Yeah, it was 4 or 5 days or something.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there are only 2 overdubs on this entire record. One is on Ice Cream Man, and then the other one's on James Cryin'. There's only two.
That's correct.
Only 2 overdubs on this entire record. The rest of it is just
all live.
Bass, drums, guitar, just vocals, like, belting it out.
Turn on the recorder and get it down.
And they were the first metal band to do harmonies this way. You know, because it was
Michael Anthony.
You listen to it, and you're like, how did they get that? My friend Tom was like, how did they get that big full sound without synthesizers or 4 guys? It's because they were the first metal band to make the harmonies an important part of the vocal delivery. You can't take anything away from, you know, those first whatever 5 records they did or 6.
They were just, I mean, they're the reason that I didn't go to a music conservatory. They're the reason I'm not playing in a symphony right now, because I heard Van Halen and I was like, I'm a rocker chick.
Could you be any cooler?
Oh, number one is her dad.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah. Well, you know.
This is exactly what I picture you listening to all the time while sipping cappuccino wearing a beret.
This is my dad and my brother, actually, and a bass player from...
What, are you one of the Royal Tenenbaums or something?
Well, no, but it's just kind of, you know, music. It's a musical family. And my dad is just one of the coolest guys ever.
What is he playing here?
My dad is playing piano, actually, which is not usually the bass player, so... But he's playing piano on his
guys like that.
Drums.
Guys like that just make me feel so untalented.
I feel like I'm at Nordstrom's.
You've never in your life been to Nordstrom's.
Seriously, I feel like there should be a barista somewhere going, would you care for a biscotti?
I've been to Nordstrom Rack.
Yes, you have. And you've been to Nordstrom, the department store. But never Nordstrom.
Would you stop?
So, yeah, my dad was, you know, one of the most influential people, music-wise, for me.
Well, that's genuinely sweet. I can't make fun. I can't poke fun. No, it's just that sweet.
I just listen to this and I'm amazed at the amount of talent. It's too bad my uncle wasn't playing too. My uncle's pretty cool too. So.
All right, there you go. There is Kristen recounting with the top 5 musical acts of all time. On the way, even as I say it, I can see my email box filling in again. Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on, more Joe Millionaire discussion. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Yeah, Matt's thinking that there's no way to leave this song. Where's the hook? And I'm like, it's a jazz song. There was no hook. There was no chorus. No actual, you know, place to leave. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
How could you not have heard of the Dan Reed Network? I'm sorry. I was busy listening to Poison. What are you gonna do? All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's roll it. And I gotta say a little thing here.
What a girl wants.
I gotta say that this makes me want to... This makes me want to jam like a coat hanger into my ear through my tympanic membranes. But also, can I just tell you, because I already got these emails asking, you know, asking about the How Chicks Think segment today and how we were going to... Can I just talk to you about the response we got yesterday? I mean, ask Matt, ask Sarah, we had so much response. People were, like, kicking in the windows to talk about this yesterday. We had people seriously, like, rappelling down the side of the building, burrowing in through the drainage pipes to get in to talk about
this. Busiest phones ever.
It was like, I expected the phone company to call and tell us to knock it off. We had the biggest response yesterday, I think, to any show we've ever done. So in that ratings whoring vein, you know, we've got today's installment of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Rick, and this is funny, too, because this is the first one to acknowledge yesterday. Rick, I already had this question in my head before yesterday's show, and so it may be pointless for me to even ask, but I want to know, and Jolie looks like my best shot for finding out, even if her advice is completely off the wall. My question is this. Why do women insist on flirting? If a woman likes me, I prefer that she just ask me out or tell me she wants to have sex or anything but just playing mind games with me. I know women probably find it sexy or something, but it just seems like they could save a lot of time by being direct. Let's see what kind of weird response this gets from Jolie. That's Andy in Portland. There you go.
Thanks for the vote of confidence there, Andy.
Hey, sometimes you got to speak the plain truth.
But let's get one thing straight here right off the bat. Men flirt too.
No, men hit on you. There's a difference.
Men flirt because they're trying to sleep with you. Women flirt back and have absolutely no interest in doing so.
Excellent. Ding, 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 ding. 2 points of Matt Peterson.
It's a primitive animal instinct. Like when dogs sniff each other's asses. Not just the female do that. And when the male peacock shows his feathers to the female peacock.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, it's kind of like... Well, it's the timeless dance of seduction. Let me put it that way.
Timeless? What are you, Marlon Perkins? Dance of seduction.
Well, first of all, we flirt because we have to kind of feel it out, see it out, sniff it out, get to know the guy, get to know if he's somebody that we even want to sleep with.
You're giving me a Wiggins. Okay, I'm listening.
All you guys do is you see boobs, and there you go. You know, you want to sleep with them.
Well, we're men. What do you?
Well, I know, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you how it is. Telling you how I see it.
Okay, hold on. Don't go to stay there. We'll finish this in just a moment. We'll be back. We've got this. Plus, we're going to talk about some more Joe Millionaire business. But Jesus. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. You'd like to weigh in. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.